Will in your Bibles tonight to the last book of the Old Testament. We studied this in morning in our Sunday school. I didn't know that I was going to preach on this at the same time, but we're going to talk about the love of God. Malachi 1 verse 2. All right. Malachi chapter 1 verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have I loved you? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste to the mountains, his mountains, and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here tonight. Lord, may you just open up our eyes of understanding that we might be enlightened tonight. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, or Lord, that they need to just come and recommit their life to you, whatever decision we need to make tonight, Lord, we trust that we'll make that decision according to your perfect will. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We are reminded that God's love is a permanent, perpetual, and persistent love. God will never, never, never let us go. There's no greater thought in all the Bible than that God loves us. God loves us. And we see a glorious declaration of God's love in verse 2. He says, I have loved you. What a glorious statement, a glorious announcement. A glorious truth. I have loved you. It's a glorious affirming of the love of God for each and every one of us. Oh, I just thank God that he loved me enough that he gave his only begotten son for me, my life. And as a child, I learned these songs. How many of you learned Jesus loved me, this I know? For the Bible tells me so. We learned that when we was just little bitty kids. Our Sunday school teachers sing it with us. Our parents sing it with us. But one thing for certain, God will always love us. He'll always love his children. Spurgeon commenting on John 3:16, I guess one of the greatest verses of Scripture, said, God so loved, and he said, come, ye surveyors, bring your chains and try to survey this word so. Come, ye astronomers, and your optic glasses, and all of space which you look, and try to imagine that word so, that God so loved you. Here is a task that will defy you. God so loved the world. And friends, he loves each one of us like that tonight. And if you don't know God's love, you're missing out on a glorious thing about his love. And it's a glorious affirmation that God loves us. It's a glorious assuring of his perpetual love for you and I. Notice carefully, God says, I have loved you. Now, that's in the perfect tense. That simply means God's love for them, he in the past, he loves them in the present, and he will love them in the future. He will never let us go. John 31, verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. One of the greatest hymns, and we didn't sing it tonight, but it's an old hymn, The Love of God, says this, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, with every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong, it shall forever endure. The saints and angels' songs. God loves you tonight. You need to know that in a time when the world is turning simply away from God, when we're further and further drifting away from God, we need to know that God still loves us, and He will love us in spite the length of our life, the depth of our sin. There's no matter what sin you've done, God loves you. He doesn't love the sin, get that, but He loves you. No matter what misfortunes come your way. So many people, when misfortunes come their way, they say, well, God must not love me, and they drop out of church. He will always love you. He'll always care for you. He always loves us, and He will never, never, never cease to love you. He said, I have loved you. A glorious declaration of God's love. I have loved you. And then there's a grievous deliberation of God's love. God declares His love for His people, and then their debate of His love, wherein hast thou loved us, they said. God says, I have loved you. And they say, where, God? When did you love us? And the people were saying, we're not so sure that you love us. Now, wouldn't that hurt you if you love somebody so much that you gave your only begotten son for them? And they said, well, God, we're not sure that you do love us. Well, how could anyone doubt the love of God, how much He loves them? Yet when a problem arises in our life and along our way, God, we doubt sometimes if God really cares for us, if He really loves us. I've had people say, well, where was God when my child was sick or my husband was sick? Where was God? Why did He let this happen? Folks, we can rest assured that things happen in our lives. Like I said this morning, we live in a fallen world. And because of that fallen world, man, we're going to have troubles in our life. All you have to do is read the Bible, and you'll see that the Christian life, living for God, you're not immune to the trouble, but it doesn't mean that God does not love you. It doesn't mean that God has left you. God loves you. And then He reveals His love towards us so many times. And they were unaffected by His love. They were even cold in their hearts about His love. They had become indifferent in their hearts. And I feel like so many people today are indifferent towards God. God loved them, but they were completely unaffected by His love. All we have to do is look around at the churches today, look around at our people today, and we see the same thing that God saw in Malachi's day. He said, I have blessed you. Now, we used to sing that old song, Count Your Many Blessings, you know. And like I said this morning, man, you can count blessings upon blessings. And then yet, when something comes our way, we wonder, God, have you blessed me? Yes, He's blessed us. You know, God loves us day by day, month by month. He keeps loving us, and His love has affected our lives. Listen, I was telling somebody the other day, it was a deacon at First Baptist Church in Rusk. I was talking to him, and he was saying, you know, the people say that they love God, but if a husband loved his wife like he loved the church, then he wouldn't see her in a long time, you know. We have people that say, oh, preacher, I love the church. I love your church. This is not my church. This is God's church. And I don't want you to fall in love with my church. I want you to fall in love with God's church. You see, you ought to love God's church because this is His church. And He's given us so many blessings as a church. And yet, by our attendance and by our lives and by the way we live our life, we fall into this category that we're completely unaffected by His love, you see. We're completely unaffected. And when we will not be regular attenders in God's house if we do not love Him. It just won't happen. And that's where so many are today in our churches. They're not regular attenders. We say we love God, yet we put very little effort into loving His church. One will not regularly read the Word of God if you do not love Him. And yet so many people today who say they love God never study their lesson, never read their Bible, never pray. Only a cold, indifferent, and unaffected heart would ever question God's love. And yet many times we have our own people in our churches question, is He really doing anything? And you ought to be able to look around and say, yes, this is what He has done in my life. Maybe we called for testimony a while ago, and I thought, man, somebody say how much God's blessed them this week. You see? Somebody tell them how God has given us life this week. Just how God has moved in your heart this week or something. And yet we're so unaffected. And they were completely unaffected. They were completely unappreciative of God's love. An ungrateful heart is often blind to the blessings of God. An ungrateful heart. God had loved them, but they were unappreciative of His love. He said, I have loved you, says the Lord, and you say, in what way, Lord, have you loved us? Often in life, our daily things that God gives us, we're completely unaffected by it. Man, you know, I was thinking not just the other day, we do not appreciate our Lord and Savior. He keeps watch over us day and night. He keeps us, you know, He's blessed me with pretty good health. I don't take care of my body like I should, but, you know, He keeps us in pretty good health. And we should thank Him for that. We should praise Him for that. When little things in our life come along, and we're facing a lot of little things in our life right now, but I know that God has not left us. I keep trusting His Word where He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. Folks, that's a glorious declaration of God's love. I have loved you. And then there's a grievous declaration of God's love. When His people says, wherein, Lord, have you loved us? Then there's a gracious demonstration of His love. Look at what He says. They doubted God's love, and God demonstrated His love. Verses 2 and 3, God says, concerning Jacob and Esau, that He has shown a special love towards them. He said, I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. Now listen, those words do not indicate a denial of love for Esau. So many people say, well, you mean God hated Esau and wouldn't have nothing to do with him? Well, He used this to contrast the great love of God for Israel. He said, I have loved Jacob. Now, let me tell you something. In Genesis 29, there was Jacob and Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. But it didn't mean he didn't love Leah too, you see. And if I had have been God, I'd have been looking at old Jacob. You know, Jacob was a crook. He was a trickster. He cheated Esau out of his birthright. He did all kinds of things. But God chose him. And it simply means that when he said, I loved Rachel more than Leah, he simply means I loved Rachel more, you see. And he had a deep, special love for her. Luke says, God says that a disciple must hate his family. And that doesn't mean that he's just supposed to hate everyone in his family. No, the truth is he's supposed to love God more than his family. Now, the truth is clarified in Matthew 10:37. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. God was just simply saying to Israel, you debate my love for you. You wonder if I love you. You doubt my love for you. But he said, I have loved you with a special, special love more than anyone else. You see? I've loved you more than anyone else. A special love, in fact. And Esau was the firstborn. And yet God loved Jacob and chose Jacob. Now, God has loved us. And he continues to love us. He continues to shower us with his blessings. And he said, I have made you my people, my special people. Aren't you glad that God saw benefit to love us too and choose us? We didn't earn it, did we? No, we don't earn the things that we have. God just blesses us. God's love is undeserved. In all of our life, it's a story of God's grace. So many times I wonder, God, how can you love us being so unlovely? Yet, you know, it's amazing grace of God's. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. It's a designated love for us, he says. And now God destroyed a sinful people. Look on down in 4. Even though Edom had said, we have been impoverished, but we have returned and built the desolate places, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. You see, God loves his people, and yet he destroyed a sinful people. In verses 3 through 5, he uses that word in verse 3, he laid waste his mountains. Now, that refers to the land of Edomites, who were Esau's descendants. He said, I've laid waste to those mountains. They were a godless group of people. They were immoral people in all their ways, and they oppressed Israel. And God says, you know, I will destroy that sinful people. God says, you doubt my love for you, but look how I have cared for you. Look how I have destroyed their land. Look how I have protected you. Folks, we don't have to doubt God's love. Just look at how he's blessed your life. Look how he's demonstrated his love towards us. Look how he has worked in our life to bring us to this point. There's no reason at all that we should doubt God's love for you. I was driving down the road the other night, coming back home, and I was thinking about this. God, you know, I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you watch over me. I know you hear my prayers. Continue to show me how much you love me. And about that time, somebody cut me off. Boy, I had to swerve and had that trailer on my pickup, run off the edge of the road with that trailer wheel. And I said, oh, Lord. But I got it straightened back up, got back on the road, and I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. You answer prayers awfully quick. Whew! Make the hair come up on the back of your head. But I know that, you know, he watches over me every single day. We sing that song, his eye is on the sparrow. You see? And I know he watches me. Watches over me. And oh boy, I tell you this and I'll close. Old boy was married for 50 years. And his wife said, honey, you haven't said in 50 years, but one time when you married me that you really loved me. And he said, baby, I said that when we were married. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. You know, sometimes that's kind of funny, isn't it? But sometimes we do God that way. We say, God, we love you. And yet we don't show it. We don't tell him. We don't tell him. He says, I have loved you. And I will never change my mind about that. He loves every one of us today. He loves you more than you'd ever know. Whether you're his child or you're not his child, he loves you, you see. He wants you to go to heaven. He don't want you to live a sinful life and die and go to hell. That's not what he wants. He wants you to love him back. And all that he's given for you, just think about that. He gave his son that we might have life. How could we ever doubt? How could we not accept that great gift and say, God, I love you, and I want to live for you all the days of my life? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted him, would you come simply by faith and say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. That's all it takes. You don't have to understand this Bible to declare that. You see? All you have to do is believe that he loves you so much that he gave his life for you, and you want to give your life to him so that you can have eternal life. He said, I've loved you that much. Don't ever doubt that. And you ought to show him that simply by coming by faith and saying, hey, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, if you're here and you are saved, you've been born again, you know God's love. You know he saved you, but you're not living like he wants you to live, then you need to say, Lord, I have been outside of your will, and I want your will to be done in my life. Tonight I come, and I want a fresh start. You know what he does? He gives you that fresh start. He'll pick you back up. He'll put you back on the road to joy, happiness in Christ Jesus. That's what God does. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love towards us. Lord, that you gave your son to die for us. Lord, I pray that we're not questioning how much you love us, that we just trust you. Lord, I thank you for those that are here tonight, and pray, Lord, they'll make the decisions according to your will. We'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.